Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and not that of WVRC Media, its staff and management, or the distributors of this podcast.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Scoop Squad Truth Squad, recorded live in the WCHS Network studios here in downtown Charleston, West Virginia, where crime is at an all-time low. Oh,
you're stealing my line. You said I couldn't say it. Crime is at an all-time low, and the homeless population is fewer than it's been in a decade.
And if you believe that, I've got to.
Yeah, that's okay. Thanks, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Stealing my intro line.
I know, I felt bad.
I'm just a grouchy
anyway,
little lady today.
I know, but sugar detox is real.
It is real.
I know. But we are in the capital city of Charleston, West Virginia, and we're so excited today to have Susie Salisbury. She was a longtime city council woman serving for 12 years. She is now a private citizen struggling, like so many citizens in Charleston, with dilapidated housing in her neighborhood. And, you know, this is a topic that we continue to discuss because I think it's on the citizens' minds. It's everywhere throughout the city. We're losing population. And we have absentee property owners that are not maintaining their properties. And then we have some property owners that live within the city limits that simply don't maintain their properties. So we've invited Susie on, not just to hear about your delinquent, your dilapidated issue, property issues next door. And Janine is watching.
Councilwoman Fagry.
Yes. And she's a huge fan. And she just sent a big heart. She's listening on Facebook Live, as everyone can do on Tuesday evenings when we are recording at 6 p.m. We do a little snippet on Facebook Live, so you can check that out on all your favorite, on Jenny Burns Riser and Ashley Switzer and Scoop Squad. And Janine says, hey, ladies, and we would love to have you on, Janine. I'm just an open invitation right now.
Jenny, I think you should mention where they can find and subscribe to the podcast.
You can find our
different platforms.
You can find it on most of your favorite podcast platforms and Apple.
Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio.
Podomatic. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on because we're that popular.
Find us and subscribe and don't miss an episode.
Don't miss an episode. It's really fun. And if you have a burning desire to bring up topics, what we are trying to do on our podcast is give time for folks to come on and not just do a 30-second sound bite, but to really take deep dive into their stories and listen. And, you know, Ashley and I have a differing on opinion on some political issues, but I'm a little more liberal than she is. She is definitely a diehard conservative. Rush Limbaugh loving.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have found common ground. And you know what, Ashley? Not to digress, but I'm going to. I have heard more and more, and I think it's probably because I'm noticing it because we're doing this podcast, but people, when they tell me how much they love the podcast, which I have gotten a lot of love, I'm sure you have too, mm-hmm. about the podcast, is that people, the common thread is that, you know what, we need more dialogue like you guys have.
Mm-hmm. Discussion, conversation.
Yeah. Things are so polarized. And
well, it's funny because I was on, you know, family vacation last week, and the issue came up about, you know, politics, and it started, you know, not so heated, but, you know, someone jumps in and say says. That's why the, you know, that's why the saying says, you know, don't discuss, never discuss politics or religion with people. And I said, but why? Mm-hmm. Like, those are two very, those are, I would argue, two of the most important topics to talk about. Politics, because they affect, it affects all of us, you know, and religion, which affects all of us. Why aren't we having those hard discussions? Why do we want to veer away from those discussions, you instead know, of dive in and set, like it, like we've talked about before, just set your ability to be offended at the door, and just, you know, get to the heart of someone. I mean, that it's politics and religion goes to the to what makes you, I think. Yeah. And so if I really want to know someone, I want to know what your political beliefs are. I want to know what your religious beliefs are. I want to know why you believe those things.
So, Susie, just to bring you into the conversation, how, since you were in politics for a long time, do you see that things have become more polarized? Have things changed significantly since you were in city council?
It seems, and this is just my observation, I was just telling somebody the other day, because they asked me, they said, do you miss being on council? And I said, you know, I didn't realize how much time I put into it, because, you know, I went to, if there was a topic of interest to me, I don't care if it was introduced by a Democrat or Republican. I mean, right. Things are not DNR at the local level. It's local. I mean, it's affecting all of us. But I said, you know, I was in meetings three evenings a week, easily, if not four. And I said, you know, I don't miss that, because now I have my time back for me and my family. But just the few council meetings that I listen to, it just seems like there's not a whole lot of discussion going on in the committee level. And maybe it is. I'm not there. But it just seems things that are brought up on the floor are things that should have been discussed at a committee level and agreed upon and moved forward after that. I don't know. That's just my observation. You know, we were very, very tried and true. Let's get it all on the table in the committee. And if
so,
you
when
have
you say
an
get it on the table, Susie, in the committee, what does that mean?
That, like, means if there's an issue there, you know, all issues are going to have a variety of sides. Let's get everybody there so we can hear all of it.
Which means that the committee, I'm assuming, then would be made up of varied different people, right?
Well, the official committees of council could only be council members, but they are public meetings. And so it's up to the committee chair whether they want to recognize anybody from the public. They don't have to.
But anybody from the public can come to that meeting.
Anybody can come and listen. And sometimes the committee chair or committee member will ask the chair, hey, will you invite Joe Smith to come talk about this issue, because I know that they will be able to give us good information. That is so
important.
And it's back to what you two just said. We've got to be able to talk about this stuff, and we've got to be able to listen to all the sides, and that needs to really be done before it gets to the council floor.
And get it pounded out before you take it to the floor. I mean, let all the arguing, if they're, you know, sometimes that happens, you know, we get heated and we all have certain opinions and ideas of how things should be, but that's why it's good to have those committee meetings, so that we can get all that hashed out and hopefully come to the floor with the bill that everybody can sign on to, or
off. Then all your, also, if there's questions on the floor, whomever is in that committee conceivably could address that and say that it has been addressed in committee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Versus not.
Right.
And, you know, so.
That committee structure is so valuable, just so valuable. And, you know, all of council needs to take advantage, whether, you know, I went to committee meetings and I was never on the committee, but it was like, you know, that might, I want to hear the discussion before I get on the council floor and cast my vote, because I want to make sure I've heard it all.
Right.
By the time I get to that point.
Yep. So. I think that's valid. So you gave a lot of your life to the city of Charleston.
I did.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not even on council yet. I'm running for for city council for Ward 14, as you guys know. But
vote for Ashley Switzer.
I vote for Ward Ashley 14. Switzer, Ward 14, but not even on council yet. And I feel like it's already a full-time job, you know, trying to keep up with what's going on in Charleston and trying to, because I do want everybody to be informed. So I feel like my job as a private citizen, is to let people know what's going on, because we're all just so busy and involved with our lives, and it's summertime. But I do want people to be informed and at what's happening at the city level, because it is so important.
Well, and that's what the podcast is about, is to give a longer, more time than just, that short minute and a half news story that's only devoted to a few seconds of sound bites. It's a platform for people to tell their stories and really wrap our heads around the issues that affect people. So, Susie, I want to throw it to you right now. You do have an issue going on in your neighborhood, and as a former city councilwoman, I think that you'll have some insight. These issues aren't exclusive to just, it's not exclusive to private citizens that have not held a public office before, but these are issues that are affecting really everybody throughout the city. So you want to take a second and tell us what's going on?
Sure. My real issue is, well, number one, I want to apologize that while I was on city council, I had no idea the level of frustration that our citizens have been put through when trying to deal with dilapidated property. We didn't really have it in our neighborhood. I didn't deal with a whole lot of it. And that I dealt with, it was generally an absentee owner. And so, there's only so much you can do. I totally get that. But the house next door to me went into foreclosure. So it was then owned by a...
How long ago was that, Susie?
Oh, boy. That was probably 8 years ago. But even prior to that, it had been vacant. There was a series of deaths in the family. But even while it was being lived in, we helped the neighbor. We helped mow the lawn. We helped when we had horrible, horrible rains like we had last night and her basement would flood. But just a series of unfortunate events. Then the house became vacant. Children were all gone. And it just kind of sat there. Well, we're mowing the lawn, so it's our responsibility as a neighbor to help our neighbors. That's what you do as being a good citizen.
Yes.
So we continue to take care of the yard. No problem. Went into foreclosure. Somebody in New York City had it. Very difficult to get a hold of them. We continue to mow the lawn because we have to look at it. We and everybody else, we are right on the path to Weberwood Elementary School.
Well, and if you don't mow the lawn, you get critters.
Exactly.
Yuck.
Right. So we just continued to mow it. Well, then all of a sudden, the foreclosure, the company that had it under foreclosure, put it up for sale, and a gentleman here locally purchased it. And within a day or two, he came in and dug up all of the foundation. And we were like, yes, we are so excited. The property is going to be saved. It's going to be rehabilitated.
Because it's a beautiful neighborhood.
It is a fabulous neighborhood. It's mixed income neighborhood. It's everything we love about Charleston. We're close to downtown, blue ribbon schools.
But you look like you're out in the country.
We look like we're in the country, but I can be down to the studio in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's where I grew up. It's where all my roots are. So I don't want to live anywhere else. But it's certainly turning into the neighborhood, not the one that I grew up in. But the house then was sold, and again, we were excited. The gentleman came in and started digging up the foundation and started dumping a lot of the debris from his foundation dig onto our property. And we're like, okay, well, all right, let's be calm here because he's rehabilitating the house. So, all right, let's go with it. Went down, talked to him, and he said, oh, it's just going to be a couple of weeks. And is that okay? Well, that was already on our property. And we were like, well, okay, but we want it all cleaned back up. And so, okay. And then he said, well, one of your tree branches is hanging over on my roof. And we're like, as soon as you finish your foundation, then guess we will come in and chop that tree back. We promise. Mm-hmm. But you get your part done, and then we'll do our part. Well, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 months, 8 months, 12 months. Wow. We're on year three now.
Wow.
Year three. The property is still dug up. It is a total attractive nuisance. It's on our property. It was very frustrating because I hosted a meeting at my house of my neighbors and the building commissioner and the councilman and a representative from the police department. And I said, here's what's going on. And at the time, the building commissioner said, well, he told me that property belonged to him. I said, no, it doesn't. But I'll tell you what, we will pay to have an updated survey and we'll have a pin dropped. And then I want you to come back and see where that pin is dropped.
So the building commissioner said that the owner who was dumping things on your property said that that was his property. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so,
so you paid to have an assessor to prove that it was your property.
We had to prove, because they took the word of that.
Right.
At the next door neighbor, not my word. Mm. They took his word. And I was like, okay, well, then I'm going to prove you wrong. And sure enough, I proved him wrong. But, you know, then they said, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's nothing we can do about your property, except we can start citing you for having all this debris on your property.
Citing you?
Citing me, because his debris's on my property. And I was like, well, okay, if you need to do that, go ahead. But I'm not going to go quietly. Take care of him, and then we'll take care of ours. So, you know, we never got his contact information. The building commission office has his contact information, and he keeps telling them that he is going to fix it up and move into it. And it was
Susie,
like,
Susie, I've been to that property. And when you say dug up, that's kind.
That is kind.
That's kind, because
we will post pictures on our Facebook page. Scoop,
honestly,
Truth Squad.
Yeah, and if you guys want to go up and see the property, message me, and I'll let you know where it is, because someone's going to get a child. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to get severely injured.
It's a true attractive nuisance.
It is
that's
such
a legal
hazard.
Term for it.
Yes.
It's a complete
hazard. And when that happens, maybe then the city will take notice, because I guarantee you somebody will be liable for that accident when it happens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole back of the house is out. So, you know, when you look at the building codes and that code, I think you read it a couple of weeks ago,
yes.
About your
has to be closed
the
up.
City is supposed to close it up.
Well, no, there's nothing
open.
Closed about that property.
There's nothing closed. It's all wide
open. You
can't
close it.
Well, it definitely meets the criteria for a dilapidated structure. I mean, it clearly meets
every... Well, and I think it does.
To be torn down.
But the owner also seems to be someone who has a record or a history of these types of violations.
He owns 3 properties on our street. 2 of them are vacant and dilapidated.
And you also have a council person that lives on your street.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does this council person say, Joe Jenkins, what does he say about this dilapidated
unsafe
structure?
Well, he will, you know, I loop him in on all my emails, because that's being a responsible citizen, is keeping your council person up to date. He will follow up, like when his grass, I took a measuring stick out recently and it was up to 3 feet. I give Joe Jenkins credit. He said, that owner has got to get here and mow that yard. I was like,
So did the owner come and mow the yard?
He came about a week later. It took about a week to get him out there. And it's back to about a foot long now. So we'll have to start that process over. But it's very frustrating as a citizen, because I am now having to constantly harp on the folks in City Hall, in the municipal court, in the city attorney's office, and my councilman. I'm constantly having to harp on them. Guys, this isn't right. This is not fair to our community. It's not fair to any neighborhood in this city.
No, it's not.
It's not fair anywhere. I mean, I have, where I live now, 4 vacant and dilapidated houses within 2 blocks.
I have about
That's
the same, Susie.
Of.
Up in South Hills, I have about the same.
That's unheard of. It's just, it's just,
and it's a constant worry for people.
It's a
like
constant
us.
Worry because we lay there and we worry about
who's
I mean,
living in
seen
there.
The critters.
Well, nobody can live where you are, but you
know, right,
and, that's not livable structure.
You know, I'm scared to death of kids getting in there, like you said, and never coming out. It floods. It stinks. It's you know,
and the city's aware of it, and people are aware of it, but they say that there's really nothing they can do
really
as long
nothing.
As the taxes are being paid. Is that right?
Well, that I mean, it's delinquent on taxes.
All right, ladies.
Yes,
I love this conversation.
It's getting me hot. I'm hot again.
It's getting us all fired up. But I'm sorry, we're gonna have to take a quick break and let everybody go to the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah, or get some ice cream,
and we'll get a drink.
A drink, some ice cream, and we'll give you the rest of the scoop when we get back.
You feel abandoned, alone, and unimportant. Your systems are down, and nobody's calling you back. Call Quinn Computers. If you're a small or medium business, you found a home at Quinn Computers because small and medium business is what they do. Quinn Computers. They'll treat your business like your business is their only business. See their website at quinntechnology.com for Quinn Computers.
If you would like to make sure your voice is heard, contact Scoop Squad Truth Squad at gmail.com or find them on Facebook. If your business would like to reach out to our rapidly growing audience, contact Ron Hughes at 304-395-1111 or email ron.hughes@wvradio.com.
Well, you're back. Thanks for sticking around. We're back here with Susie Salisbury and Ashley Switzer and me, Jenny Riser. And thank you for waiting through the break and coming back to Scoop Squad.
For an additional scoop.
For an additional scoop. So our additional scoop is that we did, as part of our background, talk to Tony Harmon.
Yes, we both spoke with Tony Harmon, who is the building commissioner. And we I also... got a list. I also texted or emailed with John Butterworth, I believe is his name, at the commission.
He's the planning department.
Planning department. Yeah. And he was able to email me what looked like a spreadsheet or a list of dilapidated structures that supposedly are being compiled.
By the way, this house I'm referencing was not even on that original list until I had to scream about that.
Is that
go
right?
Go ahead. I apologize.
Well, that was one of our questions to them was, how is this list generated? How is it managed? How is it updated? And I think our conclusion in talking with Tony Harmon was that that there's really not a systematic way of dealing with all of the information on dilapidated and vacant structures
that
electronically.
That was my takeaway, that we're still in 1980 as far as collecting this
data.
Sorry,
but I was at the DMV today, and I didn't have to go to the DMV. It was all online. Like, everything is online. I can apply for loss registration. I can do everything online through the DMV that I needed to do. Now, when you have an agency like the Building Commission that is still operating in 1980, yet the DMV is showing you up with the online stuff, that's just crazy to me. I mean, why aren't we? We've got so much ARP money out there, millions and millions and millions of dollars.
What, 37?
37 million. Why don't we take some of that money and get this? All this information centralized in one location where it's a working, and let the public access all this. Mm-hmm.
And what would be great too is that the public, like yourself, instead of having to call this or like we did, call this department and then this department does this and this department does this, how about having a reporting system?
Yes.
Where you can go online and report the structure and your issues, and then have an ongoing, you could go on and look up what's
been
done.
See what the status
is. Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe there's not a status. So then you go on and you know.
Yeah, you and I both came to the conclusion that this system is not working, and it's antiquated, and it needs to be overhauled. otherwise.
Well, I think that Tony was saying that maybe possibly someday at some point in time, there might be possibly a consulting firm picked
to investigate
the dysfunction of these departments.
I want to officially call for a committee to investigate and hire a firm to actually, surely there are firms out there that you can hire and say, hey, come on in and let's get all of this information electronically.
I'll do the work for you. I will start investigating who IT firm, I bet there is.
It cannot be that hard.
Yeah, there are some IT firms here in Charleston, West Virginia.
They can do that.
Yeah. I bet you there's several colleges that would have potential interns.
And if not, why don't you just call the DMV and ask them who did theirs? There's an idea.
Well, and you know what else would be important is, if they're seriously going to look at doing that, have some focus groups of citizens to say, what do you want to see as far as reporting?
Well, this is a question for you. Like, what you were on council for 12 years. Back, knowing what you know now, what would you do today if you were on council?
Oh, for sure. Number one, I would be taking a look at what the city of Huntington's doing.
Tell us about that.
The city of Huntington has, and I learned about this because I talked to the state auditor's office, who, by the way, is using ARPA money to enhance. They have a whole demolition program going now for the state of West Virginia. They hired the building commission person from the city of Huntington. She was over their demolitions, is now the state director of that for the city, or for the, state auditor's office. So very good investment of ARPA funds.
Sounds
on behalf
like
of the state of West Virginia. So I thank them.
Kudos. Thank
you. And thanks to the city or the state auditor's office. So I would have gone and talked to them. They, two things, when it comes to demolition, they have what they call a,
Unsafe Building Commission, I think is what it's called. Unsafe Structure Commission.
Yeah, unsafe Structure Commission.
Yes.
And this is made up of, it's the police, the fire, their building commission, the mayor's office. There is a citizen on that. And they come together, and that's how they determine what properties are going to be demolished. Right now, Charleston, you've got to go through the court. And that is a very long and drawn-out process. I mean, my next-door neighbor, just to tie it
back to
you.
So how's the court system working for you with your dilapidated structure next door?
Well, he has 23 warrants for not showing up to court for his 29 citations. That's how it's working.
You know, and one thing that Mr. Harmon had noted was that issue in itself was that, you can have all the fines in the world, mm-hmm. but they go ignored.
Right. Same with the warrants.
Yeah. You can send all the strongly worded letters that you want to. But
if there's no consequences, nobody's going to do it.
Right.
Nobody's going to move on it.
Right. 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 Or there's no one willing to follow through. So.
So, Susie, you're saying that Huntington takes it out of the court's hands.
It takes
and
it out
now
of the court's hands. It's now, in the hands of this commission. The other thing that they do is they have in their vacant structure ordinance, which is so, because I've threatened to do this myself, put a sign in my yard pointing to my next door neighbor, is 30 days after a piece of property, a residential piece of property, is put on the vacant structures list in the city of Huntington, the city of Huntington comes and installs a sign on that property, and it clearly states who's the owner of the property and here's how you contact them.
Now, what's the purpose of that?
So that people that are upset about the property can call the property owner.
Okay, yes.
If you own property, you have a responsibility for maintaining your property. I don't understand the mentality of owning property and just letting it go.
Right. So when it goes on the unsafe structures list and it's been on that for 30 days, they put up that sign. Mm-hmm. People call the owner. Is that in hopes that the owner will then move on it?
Correct.
And bring it up to code and so forth?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or say, okay, city, sell it. Then come and
tear
demolish
down.
It or sell it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want to be, I'm sure right. these people don't want to have
great
phone
idea.
Calls going, you know, all day and all night
sure.
because of their property. But and what they have to understand is people that live near that property, they're dealing with it 24 hours a day.
They're living beside
they're
it.
Living, breathing, looking at it. Well, you know, when my nieces and nephews come over, I can't let them. I have a big yard.
Oh, I've been to your
place.
We
bought it
it's
because
beautiful.
I love it because my kids could play soccer, badminton, whatever they want to do in the front yard. I don't let my nieces and nephews play in my yard.
It's not safe.
Well, as Americans, as West Virginians, our biggest investment is our homes. It's what we tie our the most, you know, that's what the middle class ties their money up in. That's
and what is a delay? I couldn't sell my house right now if I wanted to.
No.
No, you couldn't.
I could not. Somebody, I mean, I wouldn't buy in a neighborhood that has property that looks like that.
Well, not to mention the emotional toll. I can see the emotion on your face. I hear it in your voice. Not to mention the emotional toll that it's taken on you and your family. I see that.
Oh, it's
awful. And that's terrible.
Just the emotional, just that stress. And it's like, you know, we have two properties on either side of us. And, you know, the tenants are okay. I mean, they're good. I mean, I've lived beside one of them for most of our lives as adults. But so far, so good on the apartment building next door. But, you know, we were concerned when we bought our house that we had an apartment building next door to us and the former owners were letting it go into disrepair.
Well, and it's happening, like I said, on my street as well up in South Hills. There are several houses that I know are vacant and two are getting to the point where it's going to be a problem and I can see it coming. But Susie, is there anything else you want to tell us about what Huntington does and what you've found in your research of how they handle these structures?
Well, I just think that, you know, if I were on council, I would certainly be picking these up and taking a look at our current ordinances and saying, okay, how can we do what Huntington's doing? And look how successful they've been. I mean, they've been able to get a lot of grants to demolish a lot more houses. I mean, I'm not into demolition. I'm a preservationist, actually. I mean, I love seeing things reused, rehabbed. You know, I'm not into tearing things down, but there is a point of no return.
Yes.
Clearly, my next door neighbor is at a point of no return.
Well, and this isn't the only property that he's done this to.
And
so
there's
a pattern.
That could be incentivized. You know, if we were able to think creatively about revitalizing these vacant structures, if we were able to really have serious solution-based conversations and incentivize local developers, not out-of-state developers, local developers who, like Ty Bullock, would be a perfect example of a local developer who has revitalized the entire first part of, you know, the West Side. But, you know, I've talked to him a little bit about his challenges and just getting loans, getting loans to revitalize those properties. In the beginning, he got turned down at every corner. But, you know, this could be an opportunity, especially with ARP funds, to partner with local developers and help, you know, even give them some financial backing
that
with
the
state. Yeah, and the state.
Everything that they're offering. Because that's one thing that Tony did mention, of the expense of it. But I would think with all the money available, like you said, at the state level now for.
Well, I think we're at a critical juncture. Would you not say that, Susie?
I really think we're at a critical juncture. I mean, property, it really says a lot about a community. You know, when you go and you see flowers, lawns mowed, people out on their porches talking, that gives you a really good feeling. But then when you go and you see properties with, you know, the guy on the corner busting out his windows. He's disappeared now, but his windows are all busted out. The house down the street that's vacant has above ground swimming pool that's collapsing. My next door neighbor with the debris everywhere in the whole back of the house gone. We've got two more properties right on down the street. A tree's laying on top of one of them. A tree with a hole in the roof and 3 foot tall grass. You know, what is that saying about our city? And what's that? And, you know, I personally take a, you know, I've been very proud of my neighborhood. I was proud to serve it. I was proud that my neighborhood trusted in me to, you know, be their council person for that long. And I feel, you know, now like it's all of a sudden it's kind of crashing in. And, you know, we've got to protect our neighborhoods. And
we've got to protect our property values.
And we have to protect our property values.
This is what our investment, local investment.
It's my biggest investment.
Yeah, I mean, mine too.
Same here.
You know, and the thing, you know, I've been in marketing for a really long time. And that would be the first thing when I looked in a business that I was trying to consult with or, you know, anywhere. You're like, what are you, what am I walking into? Mm-hmm. If I'm walking into a business that hasn't cleaned up after themselves, that looks like it's falling apart and they're not paying attention to just that front end, what do you have to sell? When, and I feel like when we're driving through Charleston, that's always my first instinct is, what if someone pulled off the interstate?
At Leon Sullivan Way.
Or
like we did the other night coming in from North Carolina. You pull off that exit there at Leon Sullivan Way. And my husband said, if I was someone from out of state coming to visit Charleston and I pulled off at this exit at this time, I would turn around and head out.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's two hotels right there.
And there's two. Well. And you see what's coming out of that hotel. That was one of the, that's the first thing we saw when we pulled out. What was going on at that hotel?
Yeah, so you can't do anything. Or if you were trying to attract new business and young people, they have a million. These young people aren't afraid to go.
Right.
And travel. And if you're looking at a state that you want to relocate in, the capital city of that state has got your situation, Susie. And so a young family's trying to move into a neighborhood with a blue ribbon school.
A beautiful neighborhood with a blue ribbon school.
A daycare at the other end.
Yes.
A swim pool.
Yeah.
I mean, we have everything in that neighborhood.
Yeah. And then you come upon your house and you see that.
Mm-hmm.
It would make you stop. I it would not be my first choice. So I think you're totally right. So we're going to take a quick last break. Get up. Oh, you know what? You don't even have to use the bathroom because you can take our podcast with you wherever you go in the bathroom. But we're going to go to the bathroom and we'll take a quick break.
You feel abandoned, alone, and unimportant. Your systems are down and nobody's calling you back. Call Quinn Computers. If you're a small or medium business, you found a home at Quinn Computers because small and medium business is what they do. Quinn Computers. They'll treat your business like your business is their only business. See their website at quinntechnology.com for Quinn Computers.
We're back. Thanks for sitting through our break.
Our two scoops. I think this is our third scoop, Jenny.
We got three scoops in. That's exciting.
It is exciting.
I'm not talking enough.
Oh, Susie, this has been, like, you are a wealth of information. And I just think that, like I said in the beginning, your time on council gives you such an interesting perspective. If I do get elected council, I'm going to be reaching out to you a lot and saying, hey, what can I do here? What should I do here?
I'm just sorry that I didn't fully understand this issue when I was on council.
It's a lot, and it's costing.
Well, it didn't affect you.
Like I said,
clearly.
It wasn't a big issue in our neighborhood.
Right, and now it has no boundaries. And
no.
So it's affecting all of us.
It has no boundaries.
Well, like I was saying a couple weeks ago, you know, we saw the beginning of it on the west side as that population in our neighborhood started getting older.
Yes.
It's just been a slow
decline.
Burn.
It creeps.
Yeah, it's been creeping. And I think this is one of those issues, one of the issues that it's going to plague Charleston if we don't get this right. And our population is declining. I mean, we can't
We can't deny that.
Well, yeah, our industries that brought in, whether you were for them or against them, were bringing high-paid jobs mm-hmm. with educated people, like the chemical industry, the glass industry, the coal industry. And one thing we have not talked about, and maybe we will one day, but is just all these towers in the middle of downtown, these high rises that have empty floors, because when these industries pull out,
it affects everybody.
Yeah, the law firms leave with them, the accounting firms that they brought with them left them. So not only are the jobs that you see on face value with these big industries pulling out and leaving, but you see even, like it affects restaurants, it affects everything, mm-hmm. So it affects shopping. So we're kind of feel like as a city, it is an exciting, it could be a really exciting time, because we're in a place where we can really reinvent ourselves and attract.
Yes, and reinvest.
Mm-hmm. But I think this is one of those pieces of the puzzle that is truly costing the city millions of dollars. We were talking in the green room about, okay, so I'm a property owner. I decide not to cut my grass. I'm just going to keep paying my taxes and, maybe even keep paying the bank. But I'm just not going to maintain my property more. And then my neighbors start complaining. Does that mean the city is going to come and maintain my property?
Well, that's what we heard from Tony Harmon. That's what the city does. They go out and cut the grass.
And then they put a lien. I think they put a lien on the property.
Okay.
Well, okay, great. So,
but what does that mean?
That means they can't sell it.
No, yeah.
Well, when we sell it, the proceeds would go to pay that tax lien. But
the chances are good they're never going to sell.
That's
so if they're just letting it sit.
Right.
Myself.
It's extending resources that could be.
So we got to spend money to make money. Right? Like we're spending who knows how much money trying to maintain.
I would like to see those numbers.
Yeah, I would like to see them too. Because if we do take ARP money and we do it, and it's going to be a lot of money up front, but we've got the money, number one.
And then, the state seems like it's got some money.
And the state's got a lot of money, number two. So now would be the time, I would think, that we can reorganize and restructure this whole issue. And then in the long run, the city's not cutting as many grass, as many lawns, or they're not.
You're not having
resources.
To field all the calls from people
exactly.
like me.
Exactly.
Right.
It would be a more efficient system.
Well, yes. One place that I don't know a whole lot about, but I was seeing a council member from Parkersburg. My husband's from Parkersburg. My grandparents are from Parkersburg. I mean, we've got a lot of family there. Anyway, they're also doing programs for even landlords. Instead of being punitive, they're like partnering, it seems. Like one thing they were doing is that they have an insect pest removal partnership. Like if you've got issues in your building, they will partner with the property owner to get it cleaned up. Mm-hmm. I think they're working with Habitat for Humanity to help with delinquent or dilapidated properties. So I think there's a lot of ways to partner. Instead of being punitive all mm-hmm. the time and being like, okay, you're leaving this property, we're going to take you to court. I mean, of course, we would like to have vindication.
But if everybody knows that doesn't work, why do we keep doing that? Right? I mean, if we hear from the building commission that it doesn't work, why do we keep doing that? And you're right, Jenny, to talk about Parkersburg, because I think we talked about Huntington earlier, and I asked Susie if she had asked, anybody from city council or the mayor's office to visit Huntington and see how they were doing things. I think it's crucial. I mean, there are a lot of cities out there that are doing things well, that are managing these types of problems well. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are cities close to us, like Huntington, that is dealing with this issue in a productive and efficient way. And I just think that we need to be more investigative on, as city council people. And I just wondered if you had mentioned this Huntington, the way they do it to anybody in council.
I have not directly mentioned it to anybody.
Okay. Well, City Council.
Feeling as we just do.
Yeah. Hey, if you're out there, I mean,
maybe we just need to start our own Scoop Squad committees and take it out of
hands. I'd love to go down to Huntington and see how they do things and what the process is there.
Yeah.
So let's go, Jenny.
Okay, let's go there and go.
You know the flower boxes that are on the parking garages?
Yes.
That was a project where I had gone down there for a concert, Daryl Hall and John Oates, my favorite. And I was heading to their civic center, and I stopped dead because I looked up, and I was like, Huntington, these flower boxes on this parking garage are fabulous, and came back, and I was like, let's do this in Charleston. They could not have been – they took – a whole half a day. We drove down there, a representative of parking facilities and Canal Garden Club and myself. And we drove down. They spent a half a day with us, walking us through how they did it, what they did, where they got stuff. I mean,
I love
they
that.
They were so open.
Because when we drove into Charleston from North Carolina the other day, uh-huh. and we got off Leon Sullivan Way, and we go around the corner and we come to that parking garage that you're talking about. And I said, everything that we passed in is terrible, but I love those flower boxes. Every time I see them. They are
lovely. We have two
lovely.
Garages now with them.
And it really does just give you this really good, warm feeling. Mm-hmm.
So, everybody likes pretty things.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry. People like pretty things. We all like pretty things. We like being in spaces that are clean and
attractive.
And it signals to your brain that somebody's paying attention.
Yeah.
I feel safe here. Somebody is paying attention.
That's exactly right.
That's so cute.
It is huge. It's a psychological, you know.
Yeah, you feel good about where you are. It's like putting on mm-hmm. a new pretty dress.
Yeah.
You feel confident.
But, you know, I get stopped on the street all the time. People saying, what is the deal with the next door neighbor? I mean, it really makes your whole neighborhood looks awful. And I'm like, you're going to get me wound up again.
Well, I think that we, Jenny and I, and Susie, if you'd like to take a road trip,
we'll
get in touch with Huntington and go down there and see how they run this mm-hmm. program. And maybe we can bring some ideas back because, you know, we want solutions. Everybody knows the problems here. Let's start looking for solutions.
Mm-hmm. You know, and well, Susie, would you like to be on our Scoop Squad committee for
solutions?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. Sure.
Next time you come on, Susie, I want to hear about your job with the Alliance and all the good things that are happening in the Upper Canal Valley.
Yeah,
Susie, thanks
so
much.
I'm excited to get started on that.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you all.
All right.
Jenny,
well,
I'm glad to be back.
I missed you so much.
I know you loved talking with my daughter. She's smarty, isn't she?
She's super smart.
Yeah. She'll come on again.
I know she
Maybe it'll be me, you, and my daughter. Wouldn't that be interesting? My daughter and I have different political views too. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
Oh, I just love her so much.
Yep.
Well, our listeners, again, wasting another good 45 minutes listening to us, but I'm sure they were excited to hear Susie.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Rebroadcast, retransmission, or transcription is not permissible without the expressed approval of Scoop Squad Truth Squad. Copyright 2022 Scoop Squad Truth Squad.